Tonight, want to turn with us over in Romans in the 10th chapter. How about men's fellowship? What we're going to do, we're going to move it up. Move it up 1 week. The following Thursday? Not this Thursday coming. Right, the following. Steve couldn't be here either, and I wouldn't be here because we got a graduation. And so, all right, we'll move it up, fellows, if it's okay. We'll announce it Sunday morning for the following Thursday, all right? All right, thank you very much. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in Romans in the 10th chapter tonight, a very familiar scripture that we've heard many times, to take a text tonight of what the Lord has given us. Hallelujah. Romans in the 10th chapter and verse number 17. He said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. We thank you, Father, for your presence that we feel here, Lord. We know that you're here. Because your word tells us where two or three gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And Father, I believe in this room, there's at least two people that's come in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we're gathered in your name, in the name of Jesus, and you are here tonight with us, Lord. We've gathered here, Lord, surrounded by the word and surrounding the word. Father, speak to us tonight the way that we can hear. Father, that we be blessed once again by coming this way. We love you and praise you for every soul that is here, God, every life that is represented. And Father, have your way in every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Which word does faith come from? We ask the question then. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then which word of God is it that faith comes from? You know, we have to establish, you know, the word that is God's word, first of all, before we can know where faith comes from. Amen. We understand that the word is precious today. Amen. In fact, he said in Amos, he tells us over there in the book of Amos that he said that he would send this famine that's going to be coming. And it's a famine not of bread and water, but our food or anything else, but the hearing of the word of God. There's going to be a famine or a scarceness or a preciousness to the word of God. And I believe we're living in that day that Amos was talking about. Amen. And so we need to first settle in our heart, what is the word of God? Which one is the word of God in the land that we now live in? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by thee means one. There's only one. And can't be faith cometh by all the words of God. No, by the word of God it comes. He says in 2 Corinthians in the 17th, or the second chapter, the 17th verse, it says, Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Amen. Many people corrupt the word of God. But Paul said, we're not of those that corrupt the word of God. Because if we corrupt the word of God, then we have not faith. Because faith can only come through the word of God. And if faith comes any other, it cannot come any other way, then if we don't have the word of God, then we can't have faith. Amen. Faith. The word of God builds our faith. See, a service through the years, you know, we don't particularly have a written down order of service, but the way that we just kind of follow the tradition of how it kind of works pretty good. We come in and we may open with prayer or pray, you know, and because we come in and our minds are somewhere else, you know, perhaps coming down the road, we're thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow. And, you know, we, you know, maybe took a nap this afternoon and you come in here and your eyes all swollen and, you know, we come back in here and we begin to sing some praises and sing some songs and get our mind on God. And we get our mind off of the other things and we get our mind on God and we open up our hearts and we get receptive to what's going on. And then what happens? A time like this comes that the word of God can come into our hearts and it builds our faith. It increases our faith. And when we leave here stronger in the faith. Amen. More rooted in the things of God. God, hallelujah, able to walk next week. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Amen. Paul said, but we're not as those which corrupt the word of God. Corrupt means to retail or to peddle or to adulterate. It means to destroy by means of corrupting, so bringing into a worse state. Paul said, we didn't do that. He says in Hebrews in the 4th chapter in verse number 12, he said, for the word of God is quick. The word of God is quick. Amen. Quick means to be alive. It's alive. Amen. It has life in it. The word of God has life in it. It's alive. It moves when you read the word of God. Come on. How many has ever taken the word of God out and opened it up and begin to read it? And after a little while, your tears start running down your face because it's alive, man. That thing gets a hold to you and you see something and you feel like your backbone gets about like a saw log and you feel like a giant that you can do all things through Christ which strengthened you. That's the word of God. It's building your faith. The word of God builds your faith. Hallelujah. It's not David Whitfield. It's not Deliverance Tabernacle. But it's the word of God that's in the building. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. He said that it's quick. It's powerful. Amen. Powerful means to be active, strong and mighty. Amen. And it's sharper. Sharper means with a single stroke. Not by chopping, chop, 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 chop. No, the word of God, my friend, with a single stroke would tell us where we're living. Amen. The word of God don't beat around the bush and tickle ears. It just cuts you right where you're living. Amen. Sharp, man. I see people today and they want all them funny books and they want to, you know, it says right here that it's what do you say? The word of God is what? Quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, if it's quick, why slow it down? Amen. If it's powerful, why weaken it? If it's sharper, why dull it? Amen. If you was going in for a surgery, and the surgeon were to come in and say, well, I've used this old scaffold about a million times. That thing's so dull. It wouldn't hardly cut butter. What do you want him cutting with you on that? No. Hallelujah. See, the word of God is so sharp that it'll come through and it'll cut away sin out of our lives and leave us alive and holy. Hallelujah. That's what the word of God does. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of our thoughts and the intent of our heart. Amen. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him of whom we have to deal. Amen. The true word gets where we're living. Amen. You can take a watered down, just any kind of word, and it might not get to where you're living at, but the word of God knows where we're living. He knows our address, and it'll get to right where we at. Hallelujah. The word of God, man, is powerful. Woo! How many loves the word of God? I love the word of God. Gets to where we live in that, man. It convicts us. It knows who we are. Tells us who we are. Glory to God. Jeremiah 23 and 29, it said, is not my word like as a fire? What does fire do? Fire will move you, won't it? Amen. Don't fire change the state of anything? I don't care what it is. Fire can change the state of it. That's what the word of God will change a sinner into a saint. Hallelujah. The word of God will take someone sick and to make them well. Hallelujah. It'll take somebody in poverty and give them riches. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the word of God changes things. Brings life. He said, not is my word not like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The word of God will change us. It will make us humble, if you will. That's the word of God. The Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel, and also in Luke, the 8th chapter, those taking notes, he tells us in Mark, he says, take heed what you hear. Don't just listen to anything, but listen to the word of God. You say, what is the word of God? Well, you got to establish that in your heart. You got to know which one's right. Because, my friend, there's a lot of imitations out there today. Huh? It's the word of God. I love the old King James here. It's often, what is it? Often imitated but never duplicated. Glory to God. That's a powerful word. Amen. Listen. Luke said, Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke in the 8th chapter, he said, take heed how you hear. Amen. So we got to watch out. Amen. So he says in Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by how? By the word of God. So we must first establish which word and then get it settled in our heart. Amen? I mean, is anybody in here tonight think that someone could come along and try to get one of them other funny books and get me to switch off to them? Is there anybody in here think that? No, because it's settled in my heart. I know already, man. Huh? I'm going with something that's done proved and tried. Hallelujah. I'm about like David when he brought Saul's armor in there and told him to try it on. You know, and he tried to put that old armor on and he looked at it, looked like a little boy in his daddy's clothes, you know. And he said, look here, I ain't never tried this. He said, give me that sling and stone. Give me God. Give me his word. I've already tried that. It works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This thing will work right here. It's powerful. Hallelujah. He says in verse number 13, Romans 10 and 13, he said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he says, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Come on. There's too many out there that's preaching that hadn't been sent. How do you know? Because they're not preaching the Word of God. They're not sent by God because they're not preaching His Word. You see, if they're sent by God, they'll preach His Word. A lot of mama talk, mama called, and, you know, money called. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody say, oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Look at Acts in the 8th chapter, verse 30. I'll just do a little teaching here. Follow me along. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? See, Philip was in a revival and the Lord spoke to him. And he says, go on out there, about 30 miles out there. Run on out there. There's a fella in a carriage. He don't know what in the world he's reading. And you need to explain it to him. And so Philip got there and he's running along beside the carriage and he said, you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't know what I'm reading. He climbed right up there with him and he began to explain it to him. The guy answered and he said to him, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Amen. And what did Philip do? He expounded to him. He preached to him. Amen. Why? Because Philip was called. Philip was sent. Amen. And God's word spoke through him. Hallelujah. By a preacher. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? We're talking about tonight how faith comes. And we're talking about the necessity and the blessing of a preacher. Amen. Tonight. That's what we're talking about here. He said in Ephesians in the first chapter in verse number 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation. It's only one gospel. It's only one word, the. In whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. He says in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught ye, ye shall abide in him. You say, Brother Dave, I thought you said that the preacher, you need a preacher. Yeah, when you're not saved, you need a preacher. Amen. But once you get saved, you get anointing that you can become a preacher. The preacher is just not the man standing up here, but the preacher is every one of us in this building. Preaching means to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and we need to be proclaiming it everywhere we go, on our jobs. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Brian was doing when he gave Guy a CD. Amen. And he proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. When you witness to a friend, that's what you're doing. You're preaching. I'm just simply proclaiming the good news of Jesus. That's preaching. Hallelujah. The preacher is in every one of us. He said in verse 14, or chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Look here, when you come and ever who's up here preaching and you hear the word and you hear something that you didn't know, it goes in you and just in flesh you'll forget it. But you go down the road maybe a year from now, come on, and you need to pull that up in yourself. You couldn't, but the Holy Ghost will pull it up out of you. And you said, my goodness, I didn't know that was in me, but I had to witness to him. That's what it is in preaching. Somebody said, how do you know what I ought to say? I have no idea. It just comes up out of me like a river flowing up out of me. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost bringing what we need. When you witness to people, it's in you. Don't be afraid of their faces. Just open your mouth and the Holy Ghost will bring it out of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Talk to me then. Glory to God. He says in Romans 10 and 14, listen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preachers are needful. Amen. Preachers are needful. Look at the one next to you. He said, preachers are needful. I'm not just talking about up here to me tonight. This is not blow my balloon and blow my horn. We're all preachers. I said that. The world is lost and on the way to hell. And it needs all us preachers to tell them the right way. The world needs a preacher. Will you be a preacher? Amen. You see, they cannot hear without a preacher. And how should they? Somebody must tell them what they are to believe. Preachers and hearers are collaterates. It is a blessed thing when they mutually rejoice in each other. The hearers in the skill and faithfulness of the preacher, and the preacher in the willingness and the obedience of the hearers. Amen. We need one another. Amen. How sad it'd be in here tonight if y'all wasn't here listening. Amen. I'd be still here preaching. Amen. Just like I'm preaching now, whether you hear or not. Come on. We had more than this morning than we got in here tonight, but I'm still preaching tonight. It don't matter. God told me, he said, preaching if you got a full house or if there's nobody there. He said, cause my word will not return void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent to do. You say, well, Brother Dave, how does that help anything? Because God moves on people's hearts. I'm persuaded to believe that every time these doors are open, that God has moved on people's hearts and called them and told them and led them this direction, but they would not come. That does not get them off the hook. The word went out to them. And they said, well, I didn't hear because you didn't come. It's a good word Wednesday night. If you wasn't here, you missed it. Amen. I'll just get me a CD. Go ahead. $50. No, I was just kidding. I thought I was a televangelist there for a second. Oh. Hold on. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I wouldn't ever make it like some of them go, you know, like singing groups and different things, you know, and I understand what to do. Don't get me wrong. You know, a CD $15 when I know how much it costs. You know, they're cheap, you know. And I'll help. Let me get back over here. I get myself in the corner sometimes. You know, pastors are very important, but you know, in Revelation, the second chapter and third chapter, it talks about, he says, I'll come and I'll remove your candlestick. You know, the candlestick is the pastor. Don't know that? And there's a lot of people that has had their candlestick removed. They're going around church to church and they're wandering everywhere. You know why? They have no shepherd. They wander like sheep with no shepherd because, you know, they've disobeyed God and God removed their candlestick, removed their pastor. They ain't got one. And so they go all over the place trying to find, and they can't find it. That's bad, isn't it? It is. A pastor, you know, just like I mentioned the other Sunday night, I was talking to Brother Kevin's dad out here, and he just mentioned, he said, in fact, I was going to preach the same message here. And he said, He said, "Pastor is a shepherd, right?" And I said, "Well, a lot of people, you know, want to call them shepherds, but really a pastor is only a bell sheep. It's a sheep with a bell around his neck. That's all he is, you know. I mean, I'm no different than you. The only difference between me and you, I got a bell hanging around my neck here. You can't see it, but I'm ringing it tonight, you know. When I see you doing wrong, I ring it and try to help you. This way, you're going the wrong way. No, but the shepherd, then, all he does is keep up with that one sheep. He don't have to worry about all the others because they'll follow the sound of that bell. And as long as he keeps this one bell sheep with him, all the others can hear the sound of that bell ringing and they'll follow that sound. Amen? That's why Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Amen? So I tell you, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if I quit following Christ, don't you follow me. Don't you do that. Amen. That's why I tell you all the time, I give you scripture for everything I preach. It's not just my, if sometimes it's just my theory or something, I'll step over here to the side and I'll tell you. Y'all heard me say it. Now, this is just my opinion now. You don't have to believe it or not. And I'm not going to charge you for it. And I just give my opinion. Because opinions like noses, everybody got one. And some of them got a lot of it too. I'm talking about myself. It's a pretty nice one here, isn't it? As for smelling so when Sister Connie does cook. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe if I lived back in the old Bible days, I'd be an Edomite. Eat all the time. Amen. He says, Hebrews 11:6, he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then he says, "But without that faith, it's impossible to please him." So if you're not listening to his words, you don't have faith. So therefore you can't please him except you listen to his word. So then faith cometh, you know, by hearing, here by the word of God, you know, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? Whatever you need, baby. Huh? That's why he told Moses, "I am." "Who are you, Lord?" "I am. I am your healing. I am your peace. I am your money. Come on. I am whatever you need." I was talking to a fellow one day and he said, "I need you to remember in prayer, and you know, it's hurting body and his body and stuff like this. I want you to say a prayer for me. You know, Lord, help me, and Lord's blessed me this, and Lord's doing this." And I said, "You and that lady you with not married, are you?" He said, "No." I said, "God can't bless adultery. You living in adultery, man. I can't pray for that." How many preachers will tell them that? "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you." How many people? And then go behind their back and talk about it. No, come on. I got to tell you, you know, when you're in wrong, you're wrong, right? I mean, it's kind of like the pastor was telling me one time a lady came up and her legs was hurt. And she said, "I want the Lord to heal my legs." And says, "I dance at a go-go club. And I need my legs, and I want the Lord to heal my legs." And he said, "You want to be saved?" She said, "No, I just need my legs healed." He said, "I ain't praying for you. Don't do any good. Yeah, don't cast your pearl before swine." Amen. See, the preacher, it's just not up here making y'all laugh and saying amen and say, "Boy, he's a good preacher." No, sometimes, man, we got to say things that's kind of like, come on. Help us, Lord. John in the 20th chapter in verse 30, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." What book? The word of God. "But these were written These were written, what's written down, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's enough in this book right here that we can preach that the whole world can believe that Jesus is the Christ. And it's our job to preach it. He said, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Hallelujah. He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, for the time will come. We're living in that time will come now. Amen. That they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the what? Truth. Shall be turned into fables. I'm telling you, we live in the famine time. Precious, the word is precious. My daddy was alive. I'd call him up, you know. I said, you been to church lately? Said, man, kind of tough. I said, how is it? He said, man, it's dry, dry. It's dry up here. It wasn't. Daddy had a way, boy. Amen. It's dry. Nothing. He says, nothing. Well, I guess now my sister and niece is called up now. I said, we're going to be down there. I don't know when it is. Sometime in June. So we're going to be down there now. We want to hear some word. It's dry up here. It's dead. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. It's pitiful. It is pitiful. Let me tell you, you don't know how blessed you are, church. We take for granted our singing and our music. Amen. Come on, give them a hand. Isn't it wonderful? Our Sunday school teachers that teach the Word of God. That the pastor and his wife and the associate can go away and the church carry on. We're blessed. We're blessed. Glory, hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word. It didn't say words. Did it? Isaiah. Boy, I tell you, they lived back in the old days when they was uneducated. So shall my words. That's what I have to do it today because they got all kind of, quote, words. Why don't you listen to this? I was talking with Daniel Black. Now, y'all don't know who that is. I never met the man, but I called him up. He is the editor of all the Sunday school literature that y'all read there from Pathway Press up in Cleveland, Tennessee, the Church of God. I talked to him on the phone. And this is when we quit with Pentecostal Holiness literature because they went away from King James. And I told him, I said, I fought with him for years about it. Well, they tried and tried and tried. The woman finally told me, said, I can't say no more. All these churches want NIV and all this other. I said, okay, adios, I'm out of here. And so I called him up and I asked to speak with him. He might have called me back, I think, or something. Anyhow, I said, look here, we want to switch to your literature, but I want to ask you, do y'all foresee any time in the near future y'all go away from the King James? Now, mind you, they have in their curriculum, they have, you can get NIV and all that, the same scriptures, but you can also get King James. And so he said, no, we're going to keep that. I said, okay, I'll start buying it from you. It's cost a little bit more, but I'll stop buying it from you. And I got to talking to him and I said, now he probably, here's a country hick. He was nice. He probably said, listen, this is a dummy here. I know all that stuff he's telling me. But I said, you know, the NIV, the King James, from the King James to NIV, there's over 64,000 words less in the NIV. That's like leaving the whole book of Romans that we're talking out of tonight out of the, complete scriptures are missing. Word. Now, I'm not talking about the words changed. I'm talking about less. And he said, yeah. And this is what he told me. Now, he's a scholar in theology and all. He said, I wish they wouldn't even call the NIV a Bible. That's what he told me. He said, because it's not. I thought, man, you're in charge. And you put it in there. It's weird, isn't it? If I was in charge, I'd say no. No. I'm not going to happen. You just have to fire me, because as long as I'm editor, that's the way it's going to be. Money, money, not the answer. There you go. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. You say, well, Brother Dave, what if you preach a salvation message and five people come and get saved, but the other five sinners in the church that morning didn't get saved? It didn't accomplish. Oh, yes, it did. He told me in Mark's gospel to go out and preach the gospel, amen, to every creature, and he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The word will either save you or damn you, but it's going to accomplish what it's sent to do. Hallelujah. The same word that saves is the same word that damns. The same word. Amen. Glory to my God. Ain't God good? Let's see where I'm at. Right here. Let's go on down to Acts 19:2. Listen to this. And he said unto them, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 6, it says, and when Peter had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, I ask you that. I read these two scriptures for this. How many preachers today would preach that? How many preachers would even ask that question? Because maybe they have taken it out of their books that they're preaching out of. I know they've taken it out of their theology. But look, how many would say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you say, well, yeah, the day I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise or the down payment. I'm talking about, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How many in the church have never truly heard about the Holy Ghost? I tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hear by the word of God. You can't pick and choose the word of God. You got to preach all of it. Hallelujah. It says, how many preachers would know even what to do if they said, no, we hadn't received the Holy Ghost? Think about it. I'm just giving you some food for thought. Amen. Listen, we're talking about faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're talking about the importance of the preacher. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolish to the world for the world to come in here. It was a lady came one time, visited, and there was somebody in here that knows her that came with their son or something, and heard me up here hollering and screaming, and they ask him later, says, why does he have to get up there and holler and scream? You know what I tell him? You ought to get up here and try to get this out of you too that I feel, amen? You'd be hollering and screaming too. I could say, because I preach to hard-headed people. I don't know if I could, dearly beloved, we're gathered here this morning, preach that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No wonder y'all have to go home on Sunday afternoon sleep, because you don't get no sleep during church. Yeah, that's one thing good about coming to Pentecostal church. You can sleep after you eat. Help us, Lord. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the what? Power of God. Hallelujah. It goes on in verse 21. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For what? There in the Word of God is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God will build your faith. Hallelujah. It'll give you something to anchor to, that when somebody comes and offers you junk and tries to tell you junk, say, no, no, no. Thus saith the Word of God. What did Jesus do? Won't you make them stones bread? He said, it is written. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Don't give your opinion. Use the Word. They can't argue with the Word. Amen. It says, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. You read it like this. And he gave some preachers and some preachers and some preachers and some preachers and some preachers. It'd read the same thing. If you're a teacher, you're a preacher. If you're an evangelist, you're a preacher. If you're a pastor, you're a preacher. If you're an apostle, you're a preacher. Come on. If you're a prophet, you're a preacher. Reads the same. Why'd you give preachers then? For the perfecting of the saints. Oh, you can't live perfect, huh? Well, why in the world did he put it there? Sister Connie and I was listening on radio. What do you mean? That guy said something on radio, and he said that whenever we get to heaven, all this is, I mean, everything's going to be right, and everything's going to be better, and we're going to finally get victory and all. Come on, man. Jesus, the Bible is written for here. It's a roadmap to get us there, but it's a roadmap of what to do on the journey. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, to believe all the same way. Amos said, how can two walk together, lest they be agreed? Come on, we got to believe the same. My goodness, we got to believe the same. How if we're going to have 50 different Bibles, I hate to even call them that. Funny books, like my daddy called him. Funny books. My daddy, I like to hear him say it sometimes. He said, them young preachers said they might beat me to church, but they don't know what to do when they get there. He walked a little slow, you know, they might beat me into the church, but they don't know what to do when they get there. I'm getting pretty old too. I guess I can say that now. It's a little bit too. He might beat me there. Oh, I had good mom and daddy. Y'all did too, didn't you? I know a lot of you did. Amen. Till we all come in the unity, believe the same way, the same faith, the Word of God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A lot of good preaching, I don't have time. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. In other words, we'll know who we are. We'll be established in the faith. Come on. We'll know who we are and whose we are. We'll know where we're going, and we know what to do when we get there. And cared about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of church people that's cared about with every wind of doctrine. By the slight of man. You remember what he said, Paul said over here. Listen to this. If you don't have a scripture, but over in Acts the 20th chapter, look. Verse 22. Acts 20 and 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, seeing that bonds and affliction abide me there. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, he said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he goes on and he said, take heed to yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Amen. He said, for after that my departing grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul said, you better know who you are, because Brother David might not always be there, and you need to know the word for yourself. You need to get it in you. That's what Paul is saying. Grievous wolves come in and cared about whatever wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by. It's talking about the church. We're all together. It's like this building. This bottom plate is bolted down to the concrete floor, and the studs are nailed together from top to bottom. Amen. The plywood on the side, and they're anchored into the top, and they have hurricane straps on the rafters, and this building is fitly joined together. And that's what he wants us to be, a building of God, fitly joined together by the word of God. That fortifies us, the word of God, through faith. What is your victory? Your faith is your victory. Even our faith. Amen. You can read the rest of it when you get home. It just keeps going there. Let's go down to Romans 10 and 15. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, it says, in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 28, it says that they'll say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not even spoken. You know why a lot of churches switch preachers every 2 years? They run out of messages. Yeah. They get, oh, I got three more left in my notebook. I feel led of the Lord. I'm going to have to leave in 3 Sundays. I'm going to another church. Come on. It's amazing, isn't it? How shall they preach except they be sent? Has written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of joy, of good things. It's not that I pull my shoes off and my feet look more pretty than all the rest of y'all's, though it may do that, but no, I tell you that not. But the sound. Hear that siren going by? Somebody might be in need. The sound of that siren coming. Help is on the way. It sounds good to them. Especially if their heart is this pain and they hear that siren. That's what the steps. How beautiful. There's somebody coming to tell me some good news. How beautiful is that sound? Amen. But how shall they except they be sent? He said in Acts 9 and 15, he says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Talking about Paul. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Paul was sent. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 8, he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In other words, Paul said, I have sold out for Christ. I ask you tonight, if you're a preacher, you got to get sold out to God. You have to be sold out to him. He says, count them as dung, that may win Christ, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto me in agreement unto his death. And he goes on and said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Because I'm a preacher. I can't keep looking back to the things of the world. I got to keep moving on. Hallelujah. I can't keep weeping over some that may not accept it. I've got to keep going on. Amen. I can't crawl under a juniper tree like Elijah did because Jezebel didn't like what I did or Ahab didn't accept what I was. I can't crawl under a juniper tree and quit. Paul didn't quit. He said, I pressed on. He said, none of these things moved me. I kept on. Hallelujah. Can't crawl under a juniper tree and die. Elijah said there in 1 Kings 19th chapter, he said, it's enough, I'm going to die. He couldn't die there. God said, man, you can't die there. There's an old fella out there named Elisha. And he's out there plowing in his father's field, and all he'll know is plowing unless you go. Let me tell you, church, there's some people out there waiting on you, the preacher, to come to them. There's some of you kin folks is waiting for you, the preacher, to get there and hear the sound of your footsteps and tell them about Jesus. And he's out there plowing it all he'll ever know. But oh, Elisha got out from under the old juniper tree and he went there. And Elijah did, and Elisha was plowing and he threw his mantle around him. Amen. Thank God. You can't die under a juniper tree. There's a king, Jehu of Israel. There's one in Syria. You got to anoint king, man. Who's going to anoint him a king if you sat down? I ask you, if you quit, who's going to tell him? Come on. I've told you before, I've come down to this church by myself and been in here and been so discouraged. And I had that same Bible right there in my hand. I'd be praying and crying. And I take that same Bible and I just throw it down right there. I have thrown it down right there. Just throw it down. Say, I quit. And I find myself over here getting it back up. Oh, I can't quit. There's still Elisha out there. There's another one I can get. I can't quit. I got to keep on. There's another one. But you listen to me. I'm like Paul. And one of these days, I'm going to get to say this. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Amen. And not me only, but unto all the preachers, all the others also that love his appearing. Amen. God's got a way for us. He's got something planned for us. Glory. The gospel is given by Christ. The gospel must be preached. A preacher is necessary. The preacher must be sent. The gospel must be heard. The gospel must be believed. And the gospel must be obeyed. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stand to your feet and give God glory. Raise your hands toward heaven and say, God, I want to thank you tonight, God, that I have ears to hear the gospel that builds my faith. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the gospel I heard the day, God, I believed it and I obeyed it and I got saved, Lord. I want to thank you, God, Father, for the preacher that preached to me where there was somebody on the job. Lord, help me to be that preacher, God, that'll be sent. And Lord, you'll send me into the fields that's wide in the harvest, God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that I might be a preacher to another and tell them the good news of Jesus. Lord, bring them the good tidings of great joy into their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come on, just continue to worship and praise him. And amen. Just talk to him. Talk to him there. So Lord, make me a preacher. Won't you lift your head and say, Lord, make me a preacher. Lord, make me a preacher. God, make me, send me, be like Isaiah. Listen, Isaiah in the 6th chapter, he said, in the 6th chapter, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, amen. There was the seraphims flying around with 6 wings, two that covered their face, and two their feet, and two that they fly. And they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. It goes on down, and Isaiah hears a conversation going on in the throne. And he hears the Lord saying, who will go for us and who shall we send? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Let that be your prayer tonight, God. Send me this week into the fields. Let me be a preacher this week, God. Let me be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus. Let me be a preacher to tell someone the word of God, so that the word of God will build their faith as they hear it, God. And they have a faith to believe. Remember what Paul did in one place there in the book of Acts. And he was preaching the word of God. And he looked out on a man and he saw that he had the faith to be healed. In other words, Paul was preaching the word and it built his faith. And Paul stretched forth his hands and the man was healed. Hallelujah. Through the word of God. Lord, send me. Ask him again. Lord, send me this week. You know, he says in John, the 4th chapter, he said, say not in there yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Don't say, Lord, one of these days I'm going to be a preacher. One of these days I'm going to tell my loved ones. And one of these days I'll tell my co-workers. And one of these days I'll tell my neighbor. One of these days. Don't do that. He said, lift up your eyes into the field white in the harvest. There's souls waiting. It's like the fruit on the vine is just bursting with juice, ready to be harvested. He said, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Pray, church. Lift your hands right now and say, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me this week into your field. Let me be a preacher, God, this week. Send me, here my Lord, send me to be a preacher. I'll accept the call and the charge, God. God, I'll stand in the hedge and make up that gap, God. I'll make up that gap, the staring at hedge. I'll be the man, I'll stand. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Send me to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the Word of God. The Word of God. He said, Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, the 70. He said, give no thought what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost will give you that word in that time. Some of you is already debating where to go because you don't know what to say. But look here, the Lord has just answered you right now. And he says, look here, don't you give no thought of what you to say. All you need to do is show up. You're just a mailman. God will supply the letter. God will speak through you if you'll show up. Hallelujah. I went to visit someone this week. I was getting dressed and it was Thursday night, and Sister Connie was getting dressed too to come down here to the ladies' fellowship. And I was getting dressed, and she just talked to me, and I said, I believe I'll go ahead and see. And I told who it was. Sister Connie said, I was just thinking about them yesterday. I hadn't probably seen them in a year. She said, I was just thinking about them yesterday. When I got over to their house and sat down talking to them, you know what the lady said? I've been dreaming about y'all. See, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Be led by the Spirit this week, church. Listen here. You listen to me right now.
God is going to send some of us, those that will go and going to make a difference in some lives this week. You ought to accept that word right now. You ought to accept that word right now. Your journey shall be prosperous. You'll accept that word right now already. Send me, Lord. Hear my Lord. Send me. Send me. I'll be a preacher. I'll carry the word that'll build their faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. While you're praying, is there any needs? Any needs? You want to come and